This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon talking a wide range of sports. And, of course, Jack Ebeling will be joining me and Drew Sharp will be joining me. And we'll give you our picks and takes on this week's action in the Big Ten. And, of course, we got to tell you about tonight's hockey game in Ann Arbor between Michigan State and Michigan. That takes place tonight. So a lot of things going, events going on. And you have the women's volleyball. It's got a game tonight, tonight and tomorrow night. They've got games both nights. So we got a lot of things to discuss right here on AM 870 WKAR. Yes, tonight we've got volleyball by versus Minnesota here at the Jennison Fieldhouse. And then tomorrow night, we've got the volleyball again versus Wisconsin. So Wisconsin Saturday night and Minnesota tonight. That's volleyball here in Jennison Fieldhouse. And, of course, women's basketball takes place on Sunday versus Texas Arlington at 2 o'clock. So that's a noon or 2 o'clock game coming up on Sunday. And then, of course, tonight's the hockey game in Ann Arbor. The puck drops at 7:05. So a lot of things going on with Michigan State coming up this weekend right here on AM 870. And then, of course, there's the high school playoffs. I'll be going out to DeWitt and St. John's. So that's one that will take my action and take my time up with going out there to see that the DeWitt and St. John's game. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us, and we're going to be joining Drew Sharp shortly, and we'll get with him. And let's see, we've got Drew, you there, buddy?
Right here.
Okay, and we're still trying to see if we can catch up with Jack right now, and hopefully we'll have him joining us shortly. You know, this weekend there's a potential for a few upsets in the Big Ten, but it looks like there's a chance for a few upsets even nationally coming up this weekend. We got Jack in, so let's bring you in. Jack, okay, you there, buddy?
I'm here.
Okay, good. So we got both of you on there, so we can go through the Big Ten and a few of the other games, because there's a chance for a lot of upsets this weekend. I don't know, but there is some talk about. I guess it could be. How would you call it if Notre Dame gets beat? That'd be a minor upset or a major upset?
They're a 19-point favorite, aren't they?
Yeah, there's something like that. But Boston College always gives them a tough game.
Yeah, Boston College isn't very good either. Mm-hmm. I would consider that to be a major upset.
Yeah, I mean, I think Boston College was 2-7 right now. So
yeah, something like that.
Pittsburgh, I don't think, was much better last week, but you know, right. it wouldn't surprise me if Boston College played them tough, because Notre Dame has. You can argue they led a very charmed life.
Yes, they have
last week. So
yes,
yeah, and you can say that about the Stanford game. You know what Notre Dame is doing, Drew? The same thing that Ohio State did in 2002. They're playing just good enough to win.
Yeah, exactly. They're good defense. A good defense that's keeping them close. They're counting on special teams to come through and getting just enough quarterbacking. They're making, again, they're not making the mistakes that could kill them. But I can't recall Ohio State in 2002 winning a game when the place kicker for the opposing team missed what should have been a chip shot in overtime to win it. So.
Well, who do you think will be exposed this week between Michigan and Northwestern? I mean, they've both got good records, good teams, but even if Michigan wins, I guess you would say what Northwestern would be more exposed if they won.
What do you mean exposed?
You know, are they basically a fraud?
Oh, I see. I thought you meant in terms of exposure.
I don't think
either one of them are frauds. I think because you lose a game, that's going to make you a fraud. Drew would say the entire Big Ten is a fraud.
See, so there's no reason for me to say that.
Hey, before we start talking about Michigan Northwestern or any other game, can Alex give us the up-to-date standings?
Yes, he can. He's going over to the computer right now and bringing it up.
All right. So from last week, Drew, you went perfect, 5-0 with your picks last week. Jack and Earl each dropped one, so you both were 4-1 last week. In terms of overall, Drew, you climbed a game on Jack. You're only two back from first now. Jack, you are 61-17. Drew, 59-19. Earl, you are one game back of Drew, three of Jack, so that makes you at 58-20. So hey, if you reverse the numbers, that looks like a Big Ten team.
Exactly.
So we're back in our rightful position. I'm first, and Earl's last.
Earl's last, as it should be. Okay, so as the rules state, the person in first place makes the first call on some of these games.
Yep.
So, Jack, you make the first call. Michigan, Northwestern.
All right, I don't mind. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, who you got there, Michigan and Northwestern?
You know, usually you start out with the cruddy games first, but all right, let's talk about Michigan-Northwestern for a minute. I think both these teams have explosive offenses that can give the defenses some trouble. I think that Northwestern will score some points. I don't think it'll be quite enough. I look for Michigan to win a close game by a touchdown or less.
Okay. You're second, Drew, so go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you guys, who do you think is going to be quarterbacking for Michigan? I think it's going to be Gardner.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Yes, I you know, Northwestern, again, they should be able to put points on the board. I'm going to go with the upset in this one because I don't think Robson's going to play. Again, I think it's going to be Gardner, and I think Northwestern was smart enough to at least prepare, to be prepared for Gardner playing, which the Gophers were not a week ago. So I'm thinking 24-23 Northwestern. I think it's going to be a tight game, but Northwestern wins.
Hey, Drew, I had a guy tell me that Michigan was going to wind up 7-6. Go on. He said, no, you watch. They're going to lose this game to Northwestern. They're going to lose to Ohio State. They're going to go to a good bowl game or relatively good bowl game in Florida and wind up losing there, and they'll end up with 6 losses.
Oh, yeah, because, again, you know, there are so few bowl-eligible teams for the Big Ten this year. They may only have 6 right. that can go. And that means, unfortunately, for the Big Ten, with those games with the SEC, you know, Michigan could wind up playing Georgia, you know, in Orlando, something like that. And that's, you know, you're going to have an SEC team far, far better than the Big Ten opponent in the bowls, more so this year than in past years. So I don't dispute that for a second. Michigan is probably looking at best, 8-5.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay. Well,
what did you pick, Earl?
Well, I've been debating this one. I'm sort of like Drew. I'm thinking it's going to be a upset Northwestern, but I'm going to stick with the favorite. I'm going to stick with the favorite. I'm going to stick with Michigan.
He picks both teams. So this way he can say, hey, you heard me on the radio. I picked the upset.
All right, what's your pick?
No, I'm picking Michigan.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next one. That will be Wisconsin at Indiana.
Well, this is Indiana's chance if they're ever going to
have
one.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they could somehow win this game, and then they got to beat Purdue, and they could conceivably run the table. If they did that and made it into the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis, they'll never have a better opportunity, let me say that. But I don't think it's going to be quite good enough. I don't think the run defense is going to hold up against Wisconsin. I look for the Badgers winning by 7-10 points.
Okay. And yeah. Drew?
Yeah, that's the same thing. I think Indiana can put some points on the board, but I think Wisconsin is going to be able to control the game clock. Yeah. And, you know, I agree with Jack on this one. They'll probably win by maybe 7 points or so, but I think at the end of the game, you'll see Wisconsin just dominating time of possession in this game, perhaps, you know, 35, 38 minutes controlling the ball. You know, so, yeah, I take Wisconsin this one.
Well, gee, I guess I have to agree with both of you and take Wisconsin as well. Cause
I hope Indiana wins, put it this way. I think that would be a tremendous story.
It would be great for the Big Ten.
Well, not great for the Big Ten because there'll be a 5-5 team. It's not great for the conference, but it's great for Indiana that, you know, they got the number one team in basketball right now,
right.
And there's probably more interest, believe it or not, in a 4-5 football team right now coming into this game tomorrow. So it'd be great for them if they could pull this off, but I just don't see it.
Can you imagine if Indiana went to the Rose Bowl and won the national championship in basketball?
In basketball, yeah.
That would be something if that could all happen, for sure.
Oregon, the thing is, Oregon would probably score as many points against the Indiana football team in the Rose Bowl as Indiana would score in the national championship game in basketball.
You're right about that one. They would, too. Hey, well, let's go on to the third one. How's this one up? Minnesota at Illinois.
Minnesota. Forget Illinois. Illinois has screwed me for the last time. Minnesota.
I think Illinois has absolutely folded the tent. I have no faith whatsoever in the Illini or its coach, and I think Minnesota will win this game.
Yeah, I guess we all got the same one on that one. I'll go with Minnesota's too as well. Illinois has just looked putrid all year long. They just haven't been able to get it together. But you know, they've got a new coach. I guess he'll survive to coach another year. He probably won't get more than 2 years. I don't think they're going to be as generous with him as they were with the other guy that was there.
I think you're right. You know, I think you're right. This one, coaches now, you know, you would think. You know, three became the new five for coaches. Give them 3 years. But now I think you're going to see no more than 2 years with some of these guys. Just cut their losses and move on.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that they're not playing hard, and that's the first thing.
Yes. Well, here's one that might be an upset. Purdue at Iowa.
No upset.
Right, I don't even want to talk about Purdue. Purdue, to me, is what Illinois did to Drew. So I'm not sure Purdue is even playing football right now. I don't care who they play. I'm going to take the other team. I've got Iowa.
Okay. Yeah, I'm taking Iowa in this one as well. I mean, Purdue, as bad as this conference has been, Purdue might be the biggest letdown of all these teams. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, they still have not won a conference game?
Yep, that's true.
Yeah,
remember when they lost winless to Notre Dame and that field goal in the closing second?
Yeah. You thought going into the Michigan game at West Lafayette that this might be that team that could emerge out of nowhere and have a pretty good season. But they've just been – you talk about frauds, but the biggest fraud in the fraudulent conference this year is probably Purdue.
Yep, and I'll go with I'll stick with you. We'll have another clean sweep here because I can't go against Iowa. But there's one legitimate upset. We've got which should be probably the best game of all the teams, and that's Nebraska and Penn State. That should be a good one. Penn State at Nebraska. So how do you like that one, Jack?
Well, I would take the home team in this game. I think that for any team to win in Lincoln is asking a lot. I don't know if Penn State is up to that task. I think it lost to Ohio State, and we saw that it does have some flaws. I still think that Nebraska gets its people back as one of the better offenses in the country. And I think Nebraska's been living the charm life, too. It's come back with overcoming three double-digit deficits, and I don't think it's going to have a double-digit deficit this week. It'll beat the Nittany Lions.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that the conference is going to ensure victory for the Nebraska. They're going to call pass interference on Penn State on the opening coin flip. Get it out of the way early. Nebraska should win this game easily.
Yes, they should. And so we really don't have any really difference other than you and Drew have that Northwestern Michigan game difference.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most compelling game of the day is going to be in Ann Arbor.
A lot
of people think that the Nebraska-Penn State game is going to be very interesting, but I think if I had to pick one to watch, it would be Northwestern Michigan.
But I'm actually going to watch Penn State-Nebraska. I believe that's the 3:30 game.
Yes.
That, you know, just to see. Again, Penn State has played beyond expectations, far beyond expectations, I would say, when you consider, you know, everything that, you know, they were put through, you know.
Right.
And so, but it'll be interesting to see if this game was in Happy Valley or not so Happy Valley now. You know, you'd probably be looking at a pretty good upset. But Lincoln, they're just a different team when they play in Lincoln.
Who's the Big Ten Coach of the Year?
Boy,
you know what? I've been discussing this with some people. Bill O'Brien's probably going to get it, but
I would say if
Urban Meyer goes undefeated, if he goes unbeaten in his first year. at Ohio State and getting them to learn a new system, you have to give him some serious consideration as well, because what Meyer's been able to pull off in Columbus, when you consider you got these seniors to buy in to the fact that you can't go to a bowl game, and this team has played just exceptionally well this season. Again, a lot of that factors into the conference stinks, but still, you know, they still have to go out there and win those games. If they go 12-0, I think you can make a serious argument for Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I think you can make that argument, but when Bill O'Brien's team starts 0-2 and loses a kicker and the backup comes in and misses five kicks in a game, and then they regroup, pull it out of nowhere, and go through the conference if they can with one loss, a lot will depend on what happens Saturday. But let's say they beat Nebraska, go 7-1 in the conference. But what about Kevin Wilson at Indiana? What if Indiana winds up in the Big Ten championship game?
Yeah, but Indiana's in the championship game primarily because arguably the top two teams in the division are ineligible. And again, it's not their fault. It's the Chris Fowler line that he's used every week on game day in talking about the Big Ten. Someone's going to the Rose Bowl. They have to. So it doesn't matter how bad they are, someone has to go. And I think that's what hurts Indiana in that argument about Coach of the Year.
You're the third best team. And I know we're different on this, but I look at performance relative to expectations and talent. Mm-hmm. And there's no question that Indiana's talent is one of the three worst in the Big Ten. But when they came back and lost to Ohio State by a field goal, 52-49, I said, that's a heck of a coaching job.
Yeah, it may be one of the closer Coach of the Year battles you're going to have for this season.
I think so, too.
Okay. Well, we've got the...
So what did you vote, Earl? What was your pick?
I'm thinking of Bill O'Brien. That would be my pick.
I thought you were going to say either Danny Hope or Tim Beckman.
I couldn't steal your thunder, Jack.
If you're going to flip it, who's done the worst coaching job this year? It's Michigan State. You want to flip it? You know that Michigan State has done the worst coaching job of any school, even more so than Danny Hope.
We thought Purdue had a great chance. I thought Purdue would be in Indianapolis. And, you know, if you lose four games in the Big Ten by 10 points, obviously hasn't been the season you wanted. But I think Michigan State is a decent team in a poor league that has not taken advantage of its opportunities. It's been in every game and, has won a couple close ones. People forget they could have lost to Boise State or could have lost to Wisconsin. So it
could have lost to Indiana.
Could have lost to Indiana, absolutely.
So, yeah, they've just lost a lot of close games. I think they've just been snake bit this year. Or, as I say, the rules of karma, the karma caught up with them after winning.
It all balances out.
Yeah,
it's
all
like
balances
with penalties.
Out.
It's like people complain about penalties all the time. And, you know, if you look over the course of the game, you benefited from some good calls, and you got stung by some bad calls. That's why if you make enough plays, you can overcome the officiating.
You know, the other thing when they say well, they had a lot of injuries. You can make the argument that injuries are part of the game and every team gets them eventually. But if you start seven different offensive lines in the first nine games, you're not going to be very efficient.
Right. Yeah. The offensive line couldn't stay healthy.
And that's been a big problem for them
all year.
You
got to have continuity with the offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's for sure. So you aren't going to the game tomorrow in Ann Arbor, Drew?
I am college football free for this Saturday because I'm stuck going to the Lions game in Minnesota Sunday. So I can only torture myself just one day out of the weekend. So
you're not going to brutalize yourself.
I can only torment myself one day.
Hey, but the Lions are pretty good. They're up to 4-4 now.
Yeah, that's pretty good by their standards, yes. This might be their last easy game they'll have for the rest of the season. If Percy Harvin isn't playing Sunday.
Do they win that game?
Yeah, they win that game. Percy Harvin can't play. For I understand, he hasn't practiced all week. And if you don't practice by Friday, there's no way there's no way he's going to play. If he can't play, he's the only real weapon that they have. So I don't,
How about Adrian
I don't
Peter?
See who wins him. Well, Peterson is improved, but he's nowhere what he was before. They catch up to him. I say you know, before the knee injury he had a year ago, once he got into the secondary, boom, he was gone. But now, you know, there are a couple – he could have had a couple touchdowns this season on long plays, but because he doesn't have the acceleration, and he probably shouldn't this quickly after having that terrible knee injury, because he suffered that, I think, game before the last – it was last December, I believe, when he had that calamitous knee injury. So, but
right. –
You know, this is the Lions' last good chance for an easy win. After this game, Green Bay at home, but Texans at home, Indianapolis. Do not toss out the Indianapolis Colts. I think a lot of us penciled that as a win for the Lions. That's going to be a tough game. And they have to go to Arizona, which every time I've covered them in Arizona, something wild has happened to cost them a victory. So it's going to be a tough haul for them.
Yes, and then of course Calvin Johnson isn't totally healthy. How might that factor in the Minnesota game, because he won't be at 100%, not even close to it with this knee.
This is interesting, and this is something the NFL needs to look into. Calvin Johnson told reporters yesterday that he suffered a concussion.
Yes,
in the Minnesota game. And Jim Schwartz was adamant in saying, no, it was not a concussion, because I was covering that game, and I believe Calvin Johnson missed one series, and I could see them giving him the quote-unquote concussion test on the sideline, and they got him back on the field. And if a player is admitting he was concussed, why the hell was he back in that game? And this is something that the NFL, they say they want to police head injuries. They want to make the game safer, but it sounds to me this is another case of, you know what, he's our best player. We have to get him on the field. How many fingers am I holding up, Calvin? What fingers? That's good enough. Get back out there on the field.
Yeah.
That and the league needs to look
into
that.
Drew, there's another problem with Calvin Johnson a lot of people aren't aware of. He was Earl's first-round pick in the fantasy league, and he's been pouting about that all year.
Hey, he has not caught a touchdown pass for Matthew Stafford all year. He only has one touchdown, I believe. Now, he's had a couple passes, plays where he got tackled inside the 5-yard line, where they ultimately scored. But yeah, I mean, this, again, I'm not a proponent of curses or anything like that. Even though, again, I've covered the Detroit Lions for 3 decades, but I do think now people are going to look at the Madden issue.
Yep.
And this is a situation where, okay, he hasn't been seriously injured to the point where he's out for the season.
Right.
But halfway through the year, anyone who thought that Calvin Johnson would only have one touchdown,
right,
eight games into the season, they would have thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
if
you had a choice after this week, assuming he's healthy again, between Percy Harvin and Calvin Johnson, who would you take?
For my team? I would still take Percy Harvin.
Yeah,
I think he can beat you more ways.
Yeah,
I just think he's a phenomenal player. That Minnesota, and I give them credit. I think one thing the Vikings have done well is that they have used him any way possible out of the backfield.
Right.
In the slot as a wideout. I mean, he got the kickoff return against the Lions.
He's run a wildcat
in the first game.
Mm-hmm. Run a wildcat.
I mean, he's Denard Robinson. He's what Denard Robinson is going to be in the NFL.
Well, that's the thing. Let me ask you this, guys. Can Denard Robinson at all play quarterback in the NFL, or do you think he's
basically going to be
a receiver?
No. He's a hybrid. I mean, if I'm the Detroit Lions, I would use a third-round pick on Denard Robinson. You trade up to get him whatever. You are talking about a player who's going to be phenomenal to watch in the NFL, because you will see him how he should have been used at Michigan. Kick returns. As in the rounds, you could just find so many ways to use him, because he is he's a very good football player. He'll play on Sundays. He will be a star in the NFL. And he was just not used to his full effectiveness as exclusively a quarterback at Michigan.
Okay. I still draw the parallel to Antoine Randle-L.
Yeah.
He had a very solid pro career, but won a couple Super Bowls. I think he could do the same thing.
Where was he drafted? You remember, Jack? Pittsburgh drafted him. Was it like sixth
Pittsburgh
or seventh round?
Him. It was late.
Yeah, it was late. I remember that. Now, yeah, it was late.
But Robinson, though, I just think you get him in space in the NFL, he's going to be fun to watch as a receiver, as a running back, as a kick returner. And like I say, if I'm the Detroit Lions, I would definitely
definitely target him when you get to the third round.
Well, and before I let you go, let me ask you this one question. Let's look ahead to next year. How do you think, I'm almost afraid, I'll probably know the answer to this, Drew. How do you think the Big Ten will be next year?
Oh, please. Yeah, look, here's the Big Ten's biggest problem right now is that where are the good quarterbacks at in this conference? You know, and I keep hearing from people in Ann Arbor how Michigan's defense is back to elite status, and I keep asking them, tell me the quote-unquote elite quarterbacks Michigan has faced since Greg Madison and Brady Hoke got there. And you can't tell me the best quarterback they may have faced might have been Kirk Cousins. That's how bad the quarterbacking has been in this conference. Now, you have in Braxton Miller's case, he's going to be very good as a junior.
Well, he put up 35 against him last year, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think the quarterbacking is gradually going to get better, and that will help the conference, you know, graduate from wretched to just woeful, you know. But that would be improvement. Quarterbacking is the key, though. This is the big reason why this conference is so bad right now. You have so few good playmakers, consistent playmakers at quarterback.
Okay, Jack, what's your take on it?
I think it'll be better. I think you'll have Ohio State better in the second year. I think you'll have Penn State having adjusted somewhat. I think Michigan State will bounce back strong. Michigan, I'm not so sure what'll happen there. But I think Wisconsin will come back a little bit. I think the Big Ten will be better. Obviously, we're still not talking about the top conference in the country, but I don't think it's going to have this stain on it that it has this year.
I think Ohio State will contend for the national championship next year.
Yeah.
I do think they'll be in a position where, and I again, like I said before, I thought when Urban Meyer got that job, it was pretty much a sign that Ohio State's going to dominate this conference for the next 5, 6, 7 years, and it's happening quicker than I thought it was going to.
Okay. Hey, guys, thank you for the good conversation, and we'll have you back next Friday.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp, both with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
What happens in your brain when you hallucinate? I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for a chat with Oliver Sacks about his new book, Hallucinations. Plus, the ballots are counted, but was science a winner in this election? And what about those looming budget cuts? Is science headed for a cliff? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that was Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 o'clock today right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in today. Here's the weather forecast for the weekend. Cloudy with a chance of rain and a slight chance of thunderstorms today, high near 52. Rain likely tonight, slight chance of thunderstorms, lows in the mid-40s. A cloudy day for Saturday with a chance of rain and maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the lower 60s. For Veterans Day, partly sunny with highs on Sunday in the mid-60s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. WKAR 90.5 Classics, Classical Continues Classics and Conversation Series, next Tuesday, November 13th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Schuler's Books, Eastwood Town Center. And please join us for a discussion of upcoming classical music initiatives on WKAR and share your hopes for music on 90.5 Classical. And that's next Tuesday, November 13th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Schuler's Books, Eastwood Town Center location. And give us a stop over there. You might want to check out some of our very good classical music that we have for you on our FM station. Hopefully you'll do that. I had a chance to talk to Coach Susie Merchant and her really first game of the season is Sunday against Texas Arlington. And then we've also had a chance to talk to Mark D'Antonio earlier in the week about how Michigan State is having their bye week. But let's see which cut I want to bring you here. Let's bring a cut from Susie Merchant and how the workouts are going.
kids that are forced to play longer minutes, you know, KB and JT, for example. I mean, those are two kids that are going to play a lot of minutes. Their motors and athleticism is, like, off the charts. Annalise is, too. I mean, you put those kids on a treadmill and, like, a scientific, whatever, they have VO2 tests, and those kids blow it out. So can they do it? Yes. Now it's just a little bit about making sure their legs are under them throughout the week within practices. But I don't tell them to manage their energy, no.
Okay. As many of you know, the injuries have really been the bugaboo for Susie Merchant's team this year. Torn ACLs, again, a couple of them. And let's face it, so she's really had a bugaboo about injuries.
Well, I mean, it'd be great if you could have that all the time. I don't know if that's really a reality. I think at the end of the day, every team that's successful has a go-to person, or maybe two. So I like the fact that we did have balanced scoring. I do think we have an inside-outside attack, but I think at some point somebody emerges. And, you know, when that happens, I don't know how that happens. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know yet. We sat in a room last year, and we talked about our go-to person in October, end of October, early November, and I said, who do you guys want it to be? Who is it as a team? You know, that's always interesting to get their perspective. And they're like, LaKendra. It wasn't LaKendra. It was Porsche at the end. I mean, really, in reality, Porsche was our go-to person. I mean, she won games for us. She created shots for other people. LaKendra certainly was significant, but who we thought it was going to be and who it was were two different people. So, I mean, I agree with her on one level. You want the balance on the other level. I think every really good team, successful program, successful team has that somebody that steps up.
And now we'll go to the injuries. As Susie Merchant talks about all the injuries they've had early in the year.
Certainly some injuries. I think the biggest thing for me is that we've just had so many at once. I mean, normally we have, you know, one kid that's pretty debilitating and we have to adjust some things. But, you know, now we're in a situation where it seems like, you know, there's just so many that it's been a little frustrating. But, you know, like Coach C, just move on. I mean, there's not much you can do about it. I think our team is there. You know, we're going to have to get a lot out of the girls that we have. And I did like what we saw on, you know, what I saw on Sunday. It wasn't perfect, but I thought compared to Thursday night, I thought I saw some progress, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I thought we shared the ball really well. We had five or six kids in double figures. So, you know, it was Grand Valley. It was a Division II, but, you know, given the circumstances, I thought our kids responded. And after watching the film, I felt, you know, certainly that we're capable of doing some things, and we just got to grind it out.
Okay. And now we have the final cut from Susie Merchant as she's talking about how they're going to solve their point guard problem.
She's doing a really good job. I mean, I think, you know, she's certainly disappointed in the situation, but I think her big thing is to keep energy up on the bench. She's talking to Jazz Thomas, you know, as much as I am probably, and keeping her up, keeping her focused. And, you know, she's looking at the game through a different lens right now. She's in the gym a lot more right now because obviously she can spend a little more time repping out some shots. And one thing I've talked to her about is becoming more of a scoring point guard. You know, to really, you know, I said when you're on the grade team, you know, your job is to, I don't mind if you shoot it every time you get it. You know, let's put a little pressure on yourself to be, you know, take your 7 points last year and make them 12, 13, 14 to be a little more of an aggressive scorer from that PG position. You know, I've always liked really good defenders, commanding presence, ball security people that create shots for other people. But, you know, I think when she comes in right now, I think the one thing that she's been doing a good job of is taking that advice and trying to be more of a scorer and putting some pressure on herself on that. Coming off ball screens, people go under a ball screen, she shoots it. You know, and I don't mind. I said, there's not a bad shot you can take right now. I'm not mad at you. You know, I got to coach the kids that can play right now. But I think she's taken that advice and is really trying to figure out what kind of scorer she can be from the point guard position.
40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Climate change takes center stage in the new Barbara Kingsolver novel. I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for a chat with Kingsolver on the science in her fiction. Plus, what could be causing the Earth's poles to wander back and forth? Yeah, that happens. And assessing the damage to research in Sandy's wake. And that's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that is Science Friday. That's coming up on Talk of the Nation at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Here's a look at the weather forecast. Cloudy with a chance of rain and a slight chance of thunderstorms today. High near 52. Rain likely tonight, maybe a thunderstorm. Lows in the mid-40s. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and possibly a thunderstorm. Lows in the lower 60s. The outlook for Sunday, partly sunny with highs in the mid-60s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, let's talk with Mark D'Antonio as he addressed a question he was asked about safety last week. Here's what Mark has to say about how the game maybe not be as quite as safe as it used to be.
I think that, when you look at the game of football, they're trying to err on the side of safety. But I think the game has definitely changed dramatically in the last 3 to 4 years based on all the evidence on concussions and past concussions and things of that nature. So I think you see a lot more flags on hits out of bounds than you've seen, and some of them right or wrong or indifferent. I think that you can't touch them, and certainly I don't know how the interference penalty plays into that, but I don't know. These are all tough things. These are things that go on in the game of football, and I guess needless to say that I'm disappointed in them, but what are you going to do? You know, it's not going to change the outcome of the game right now. So the one thing I can control is say that these are the things that we didn't do as a football team. These are the things we needed to do as a football team. And then the other stuff that I can't control, I have to let go. And, somebody else has to control those aspects, but I can't control those. So I'm best off just trying to deal with it. We have enough that we need to fix. And I'm sure that everybody looks at their area of expertise, whether that's seating people or whether that's getting people in the stands or whether that's writing. You look at your expertise and say, okay, how can I do better and how can I critique it? And that goes on every single day. And it's not like people don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Yes, and then we talked about with Coach D'Antonio about some of the things that are going on internally.
I think it's very important that the person who leads, whether that's your quarterback or whether that's your leaders on the team or whether that's your head coach or position coach or your strength coach or whoever it is, I think that in a time of disappointment that they're the ones that need to be able to step up and say, hey, everything's going to be fine. We're fine. We're good. And we've done that here, and so we'll continue to do that. But it goes without question that after the game, I was hurting. But you regroup. It all comes back. And I know some people may not like to hear this because it drives all this. But hey, it is a game. It is a game, and you compete. And I've always said it. I've said it in here before. You compete, and you do the very best you can. And then you let it go. You have to, because it'll eat you up if you don't. So you get your guys ready to play. We've done that. You got to make plays on the field. We can't have undisciplined penalties. That entered into this as well. Obviously we got a chance to go up 31-14. Maybe the game's over. Maybe it's not. Martinez is pretty good. Credit Nebraska. I thought it was a great football game. Have a lot of respect for Bo Pelini and the way they played the game and how they played, because I've watched them. Sometimes you just got to move on to the next challenge, and got to wait till next year in that respect, in Nebraska's respect. But I still believe we're 5-5 here. We've had four really, really tough losses. And, one other one that was tough to swallow as well, I guess. We still have a chance to have an opportunity to have a good football season.
That's right. They still have a chance to go to a bowl game and have a good year. And We'll just have to see how it plays out over these next few weeks. They finish with Northwestern at home, and then they go to Minnesota. And surprisingly, a lot of you might think that one of those games will be a cakewalk. No, those will both be tough games. Northwestern, as many of you know, is very improved this year, you know, better than they were last year. And Minnesota is starting to get their program together. So it's always tough when you have to go to play in Minnesota. So that will be a tough game. Minnesota gave Michigan State a tough game last year. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, what we need you to do, just tell everyone you know, spread it around, and tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every day right here on WKAR in East Lansing. Now, we have to tell you some more information about WKAR. Explore a turning point in American history at the next evening at WKAR featuring Ken Burns, The Dust Bowl, on Thursday, November 15th at 7:30 p.m. at WKAR. The evening includes a 40-minute preview of Ken Burns' newest film about the environmental disaster that spanned nearly a decade. The preview will be followed by a talk from historian Sandra Clark. This evening at WKAR is free, but seating is limited and advance registration is required. For more information and to reserve your seat for an evening at WKAR, The Dust Bowl, visit WKAR.org. Just another programming that you can come in and take a chance and take advantage of. Come over here and watch right here on AM 870 WKAR. And let's see. We've got Tom on in Lansing. Tom, how you doing?
How you doing today, Brother Earl?
Hey, doing good.
Hey, the Spartans are playing UConn. What's the deal on UConn? Are they any good this year?
They're not big up front like they were last year with Drummond, who was drafted by the Pistons. So they're a good team, you know, but basically they're sort of like Michigan State, more of a guard oriented team this year. They've got a couple of big guys they have up front are a little bit on the slender side, so it shouldn't be too physical of a game for Michigan State, but State should be able to handle them because they are a little small up front.
If I didn't know any better, I would say you sound crystal clear to be in Germany taking phone calls. And actually, you've done a real good job.
Yeah, they got me a really good hookup there in Germany.
the main reason I called had to do with Susie Merchant and the women's basketball team.
Yes.
Something's not right over there. Somebody needs to check out what the heck is going on, because for the last 10 years, it's been like two of the women's players are out for the year. It doesn't seem like it's coincidence. It doesn't seem like it's accidental. It doesn't seem like it's, well, those things happen. Because it's been, you know, I might be stretching it by saying 10 years. But it seems like 10 years, and it seems like every year there are two to three players that get knees or something, and they can't play. And, you know, I'm a big women's basketball supporter. And to not know, you know, who's going to be playing from year to year. So is there something structurally that's wrong over there? Are they working them the wrong way, doing the wrong exercises? So I'm going to take your answer off the air because I know you're into the fitness thing. But what's going on is not normal. It's not natural. And there's got to be something going on. So what do you think, and I'll listen off the air.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Well, the only thing I would say, the thing that I think is mostly going on, is they have an incredible amount of bad luck. I mean, they just had bad luck. I think they train well. I've watched them train from time to time. It's no different than any other basketball team or anything. They just have some bad luck. And I know the girls, their biology, they're built differently. You know, they handle, as far as they get a lot of stress on certain joints. That's for sure. We see a lot more, you know, that's been proven. There's a lot more injuries in women's basketball over the years, in collegiate women's basketball, just because they put so many strains on the leg and the knees. So, but they're not really doing anything different from anyone else, but they just have had an incredible amount of bad luck. And I feel sorry for Susie and the team and the kids. They're out there working hard, trying to win as many games as they can. And they just get caught up in having some bad luck from time to time. I know they're not doing anything that anyone else is doing. They train hard. Everybody trains hard, so that's no surprise. They all train hard, and they just unfortunately have a few more more problems, a few more mistakes, more things that happen from time to time. And that's about it. I know it doesn't sound like much, but, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, sometimes you just go through a stretch and you have those injuries and such. And Madison Williams, for example, she's had she's had three ACLs in the 2 years she's been here. And it's just unfortunate, very unfortunate for her and that she had it. But, you know, that's just one of those things in sports. I've watched guys out. Actually, I watched a guy one time while I was at practice. This was a few years ago. He tore up both knees. Nobody touched him. He was just moving on a drill, and he blew out both his knees, which was surprising. But things like that just happen. You know, we can't find a rhyme or reason for everything, and this is one of these things that there is no rhyme or reason for why it happened. Sometimes bad things just happen. It's unfortunate, but that's about the best I can give you. Bad things just happen. Sometimes the good people and the good players, and they just don't work out well for them. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Alex, are you going anywhere this weekend? Do you have any plans for any sporting events this weekend?
No plans this weekend for me, Earl. The plans I do have is sitting on my couch today and watching MSU basketball at 5:30.
Yep, a lot of us will be doing that. 5:30, watch that game between Michigan State and Connecticut. Yeah, I'll be interested in watching that game too, because I've seen them practice, and they've they look like they're a pretty good team. But I want to see what they've done in practice, if they can carry it to the game.
Now, predictions are on. Who do you have in that game tonight?
Oh, I'm going to take Michigan State in that one. It should be a pretty close game. State's got has some good guys, as we know, and they've got two big men really good up front, with Nix and Adrian Payne. So State should win the game. They should win, even though UConn will give them a tough game. That's for sure. I think State's probably got the better defensive guard, out there. But that's about it. So when you look at both teams, State. State is good. They're definitely solid and a solid team, and we'll see how good they can be this weekend. That's for sure. But I don't know who are you taking
in that game, Earl. You know what? I think a lot is going to ride on the big men. Connecticut has a history of producing big men. They've got a couple this year that are pretty good. Look at Emeka Okafor in the past. You know, look at guys that have come out of that program. They've got great big men. And I think with Michigan State's problem, for me, has to do with their size. I think that's going to be a very big mismatch. Derek Nix, as much as he has improved, I don't think he's going to have an easy time down low tonight. And for me, that reason alone, I think they're going to have a really hard time running on this UConn team. And for that reason, I'm going to pick UConn in this game.
Okay. Well, I like Heath Appling. He's considered one of the best defensive guards in the Big Ten and maybe in the nation.
Right.
So he should be able to do a good job against the Connecticut guards. But, I don't know. You might be downgrading Nix a little bit too much. I think he's pretty good. He's looking pretty good these first two games. So I think he's going to be fine. He's always going to be when you're 6'9" and you're coming up against some guys bigger than you. You're always going to be at a disadvantage because some of the guys can jump higher and can just really they're just more athletic than he is.
And that's the advantage of having Adrian Payne down there. He's got those extra 2 inches Nix doesn't have. But at the same time, Earl, I have to disagree with you. My expectations for Derek Nix this year were very high. Mm-hmm. Yes, he has improved. Yes, he is a captain. Yes, he has worked on cutting down his weight to muscle, and now he's a lot better down low. But at the same time, when they're playing these teams, Northwood, St. Cloud State, you can't have Derek Nix commit three travels in one game especially tonight against the UConn team.
Well, that is true. Now, you could say those first couple of games were a nerves. So hopefully he won't have his nerves won't be bothering him.
Let's hope so.
Too much tonight. It should be a good game, and I think he's going to be okay in this game. I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to be quite as bad as you think he's going to be. So I think he should do fine tonight.
Yeah, Drew's theme of Big Ten sucks will not carry over to basketball. Let's hope so.
Yes.
Now, Earl, any other games this weekend you're looking at?
Let's see. Well, I'm going to watch the Michigan Northwestern game tomorrow. That's for sure. I'm going to check that out. And let me look here. There are a couple of teams that I really want to see, college teams I want to see this weekend. That's for sure. And that's going to be interesting. And let me see here. Looking at the. Okay, here we go. LSU at Mississippi State. That could be a pretty good game. See if LSU has much of a hangover after that Alabama game. Oh, Alabama is going to be the intrigue. That's the game I want to watch, Alabama and Texas A&M. That should be a very good game. You know, so I'm interested in seeing how that one goes. Notre Dame should beat Boston College easily. That's what we've all said. But I don't know why I think Boston College is going to give him a lot of trouble. They shouldn't, but I don't know. It's just in the back of my mind that they better watch out for Boston College. So, but yeah, the game I'm most interested in watching is that Alabama Texas A&M game.
Right.
Texas A&M has really came on strong, and this is their first year in the SEC. So it'll be very good to see them and how they do in that league now that they've made the transition over to the SEC. So that should be a really good game, and I'll just be looking at a glance at the other teams in the Big Ten in action for sure. But on Sunday, you know, we got some good games coming up on Sunday. I'll probably look at most of that Detroit-Minnesota game because Detroit and Minnesota always play each other well. So I'll like that one, that's for sure. Now, I told you yesterday how I watched the Pistons the other night. Bad mistake on my part. The Pistons are going to lose a lot more. I'm trying to figure when are they going to win the first game? And
let's take a little lottery on it. Let's take a date guess. I say they don't win their first game until 1 week and 2 days. That's my prediction. 9 days, I think they'll win their first game.
Let's see. I'll go with a straight 2 weeks.
2 weeks, you know, Earl. They've got the Thunder coming up tonight.
Loss.
And they've got the Rockets coming up.
Loss.
And then they've got the Thunder again, but at home. That's 3 days from now. Some more games to follow. Let me, upload those real quick. But you think they're going to lose all three of those games, Earl?
Yes. Their defense, unless they get better defensively, that's what happened last year. It took them a while to get better last year on defense. So we'll have to see. They're going to have to just become a much better defensive team. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you for calling and invite you to come back and join us on Monday. Talk more sports with us. We'll rehash the Michigan State-Michigan hockey game over the weekend. We'll also look at how the teams do it in volleyball over the weekend. And we'll also look at the women's basketball. So we've got a lot of Michigan State sports for you that we'll cover and preview. And so come on back. Join us on Monday to talk about all the Michigan State sports. I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. So come back and join us again on Monday, and I'll see you then. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we'll see you on Monday from Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.